This morning we're going to step away for a Sunday from our study in Ecclesiastes, and now I'm attempting to do something I don't know that I've ever done, and that is to preach with a cough drop in my mouth. It's like trying to walk and chew gum at the same time. It's not something that I can do very well. I had a pastor that would always, every sermon, whether he was sick or not, would put a cough drop in his mouth. And that's how he would know when the sermon was over. When the cough drop was finished, he would quit preaching. So in honor of him, I've put a big cough drop in my mouth this morning. And we might be done by noon. So, Psalm 116. When was the last time you spent a significant amount of time meditating on the Lord's goodness to you? Just giving serious pause and consideration to all of His benefits, to all of the good things that He's bestowed upon you. And not simply meditating on the physical or material blessings that you have, family and food, home, health, etc. Those things are good. Those things are valuable. Every good gift is a gift from our Heavenly Father, so those are definitely wonderful things to ponder and to give consideration to. When was the last time you gave serious pause and consideration to the Lord's salvation, His provision and protection over your life, His character? Just meditated on the fact that He's holy and just and right and compassionate and merciful and gracious. Wouldn't you give serious consideration to the fact that the Lord just considers your life? As we read about this morning, He considers the lowly. What is man that He would regard us, the psalmist says? But He does. Do you think about that? Have you meditated on that aspect, that the Lord takes you into account and your life into account? All of these items, His salvation, His protection, His provision, His character, and the fact that He looks upon our life, these items too are manifestations of His goodness to us. You know, this time of the year kind of serves as a yearly reminder for us to be thankful for the things that we have. And generally we try to do that on Thanksgiving. I don't know if you have any family traditions where you stop and give thanks for certain things before you eat, but that is one thing that has been done in our family over the years. And it's just kind of, this time of the year serves as a yearly reminder for us to do that. Well, Psalm 116 is kind of in a similar fashion, serves to remind us of the Lord's goodness. It was seen toward His people Israel, as Tim alluded to this morning. This psalm serves to remind us of His goodness to His people and how we can express that gratitude that we should have for such goodness. Some refer to Psalm 116 as a personal thank you. It is a personal, intimate, very warm thank you from the psalmist to the Lord Himself for the goodness that the Lord has bestowed upon the psalmist's life. So overwhelmed with gratitude for all the Lord has done for him, the psalmist declares in verse 12, "What shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits to me?" He's considered all that the Lord has done for him. He's considered all that the Lord is. And he steps back and he says, my heart is full of gratitude, and what can I pay back? What can I render to the Lord for all of His benefits to me? He's moved by such goodness. He's determined to express that gratitude in some way. I've got to do something. It requires me to respond some way. Not in an effort to pay the Lord back. He's not thinking, well, the Lord has scratched my back, I've got to scratch His back. This is not him trying to even the scales. He's just saying, the Lord has been so good to me. How do I show that? How do I respond to such goodness? How do I show that thankfulness to the Lord? And this, in reality, should really be a normal response from all of the Lord's people because of all the good things the Lord has done for us. How do we give and express such gratitude for all the things that the Lord has done for us? He is so good to us. The psalmist wants to give thanks to the Lord for all that he's done for him. He wants to give back somehow. What prompts such gratitude? What are these benefits? Really, what is it that the Lord has done for us? And how can we express our thankfulness to the Lord for those things? Well, this morning we're going to, in the time that we have left, we're going to look at two aspects of gratitude that we see here in the psalmist. Thank you to the Lord. Two aspects of gratitude. One, reasons for our gratitude. Why are we full of gratitude? Why are we to be overwhelmed with gratitude for all the Lord has done for us? What exactly is these benefits that the psalmist is referring to? And then secondly, expressions of our gratitude. How do we show that to the Lord? How do we pay back, if we would say it that way, our gratefulness to him? And we're not going to have time to look at these in depth, but I hope you'll be able to see just how good the Lord has been to all of us who have called upon him, and how you can better express that gratitude to him. So, number one, reasons for our gratitude. And here the psalmist gives us four of them, four reasons for his gratitude to the Lord. So if you're taking notes, there's no PowerPoint this morning, so if you're taking notes, point one, reasons for our gratitude, and there will be four reasons that we will look at this morning. These reasons are, in many ways, connected to each other. The Lord does one thing because he does something else, and he does something else because he does something else. And all of them are really tied together, so overwhelming, and it results in the psalmist saying to his soul in verse 7 that the Lord has dealt bountifully with him. All of these benefits that the Lord has given to him has overwhelmed him, and he says, the Lord has been good to me. He has dealt bountifully with me. With him alluding to the fact that he's saying the Lord has dealt bountifully, calls upon his soul, it's implying that the Lord's goodness to him that he sees here was spiritual in nature. For sure, he was thankful for all the good things the Lord had done for him physically and materially. But here he is, his focus is on what the Lord had done for him spiritually. So number one, the first reason for gratitude is the Lord's deliverance. The Lord's deliverance. We see this first in verses 3 and 4 with the circumstances the psalmist finds himself in and then his prayer for deliverance. He says in verse 3, the snares of death encompassed me, the pangs of Sheol laid hold on me, I suffered distress and anguish, then I called on the name of the Lord, O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. Death was surrounding him, anguish had overcome him, his only hope was to call upon the name of the Lord. He does so. We see in verse 8 that the Lord hears his plea and delivers him. It says, for you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. We don't know for sure who the psalmist is, so we can't be exactly for sure to know what the situation was that he was being delivered from, what brought about this need for deliverance. Some think the psalmist possibly could have been Jonah. There's similar language here by the psalmist that is used in Jonah's prayer while he was in the fish of the belly in Jonah chapter 2. But while that could be, it does seem, since this psalm was one of the psalms sung by Israel six times, one of the six psalms used by Israel to praise God for his deliverance from Egypt, it's best to see this as being one of the psalms for that, and the psalmist as being one of those delivered from that bondage in Egypt. He's writing to remind himself and writing to remind Israel of that bondage that the Lord had delivered them from. And while he can't say for sure what the situation was that brought such dire circumstances, we do know what the situation brought. First, it brought hopelessness. He says there in verse 3, the snares of death have encompassed me. And he's saying, listen, there was no way out of this. This was terrible. There was no way of escape. Everywhere I turned, death seemed to be the only outcome for the situation. So the situation was hopeless. It was also terrifying. He goes on there in verse 3. It says, the pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. Right? The fear of death had gripped him. He's saying he would not let him go. Death seems like the only outcome, and death seems to already have its grips in me. It's not going to let go. There's no way around this. I'm going to die. He was terrified. Hopeless, terrified, and the situation was also very sorrowful to him. He says at the end of verse 3, I suffered distress and anguish. It encompassed me. It brought pain. It brought heartache. It brought distress. It brought sorrow. It brought pain. It brought confusion. See that alluded to in verse 8. It says, for you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. This is a horrible situation the psalmist found himself in. No way of escape. Terrified, sorrowful, hopeless, confused. Despite the horrendous situation the psalmist found himself in, the Lord delivered him. The Lord delivered him. And that overwhelmed him. The situation, he says, was hopeless. There's no way out of this situation. There's no way that this is going to work out to my good. And yet the Lord delivered him. So friend, we may not find ourselves being in that dire of a situation physically. We may not have been in that situation where death seems to be all around us. No way of escaping it. Friend, if not for Christ, we would have been in that dire of a situation spiritually. We were hopeless. Like death had encompassed him here, sin and death encompassed us, making us dead spiritually, left us terrified, fearing death and the judgment to come. And spiritual death left us sorrowful, right? Because sin, as it always does, has caused pain in our life. It had caused heartache. It had caused distress. It had caused anguish. And through faith in Christ, just like the Lord delivered the psalmist here, through faith in Christ, the Lord delivered us from such perilous situations. And we should be overwhelmed with gratitude because of that, because of the salvation that we have in Christ, because Christ has delivered us from sin and death. And if you're here this morning and you've never turned to Christ in faith, oh, you can be grateful too. Because that offer extends to you as well. That if you will turn from your sins and turn to Christ in faith, you will be delivered from that same snare of death and hopelessness. The psalmist was grateful to the Lord because the Lord had delivered him from a dire situation. Number two, the second reason for his gratitude was the Lord's concern. The Lord's concern for him. And the psalmist was overwhelmed with such gratitude to the Lord because he knew the creator of the universe was concerned about him. What he says in verse 1, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and he's heard my pleas for mercy. He says, I'm so overwhelmed with gratitude because the Lord was concerned about me. He heard my voice, which could have been clear, audible words, or it could have simply just been the groaning of his own sorrow. And he says, the Lord heard it all. He heard my voice. He heard what came out of my mouth. He was concerned about me. He listened to my pleas. He hears us when things are dire, he says. He hears us when they are not. He is concerned about his children, and he is concerned about them always. He goes on in verse 2, because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live. The psalmist says the Lord is so concerned with his children that he's not distant and far off, but instead he's there with the listening ear, saying, what do you need? I'm here to call upon me. And the psalmist says he does this all the days of his life. So ready is the Lord to hear the prayers of his people, so concerned with them, inclines his ear to them. And the psalmist says, because you are this way, I'm going to call upon you as long as I live. He's saying, this is what the Lord does always. He's always there, ready for us to hear his prayers, to hear our prayers to him. And the psalmist was overwhelmed with gratitude because of that. Because the creator of the universe was concerned with him, was concerned about the situation he found himself in, was concerned about the hopelessness he appeared to be in. He was overwhelmed with gratitude because the creator was not far away in his time of need. He was not too busy to concern himself in the psalmist's life. I don't have time for you. Who are you? I've got other things to deal with. He was not disinterested in the affairs of the psalmist. He would not only concern himself with his children when things are really bad. The psalmist is saying, you heard my voice. You heard my pleas. You heard me when I was doing well. You heard me when I was not doing well. You were always there. Your ear was inclined to me, and he was overwhelmed with gratitude for that. And friend, that may be hard for us to even comprehend, that the creator of the universe takes interest in you, that the creator and ruler of all things is concerned about your needs. I don't know about you, but that's hard to comprehend. That's hard to grasp, that he is concerned about my welfare. But the psalmist assures us that he is. He says we should be overwhelmed with gratitude that the creator and ruler would be so concerned about us and our needs. He bows a listening ear towards us, listening for us to call upon him in any situation, at any time, all the days of our life. Oh, what a good God we serve. What a benefit that we have from him. Number three, the third reason for his gratitude was the Lord's character. The psalmist was grateful for the Lord's character. We see the psalmist mention the Lord's character in verse 5. There he says, gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord is gracious, he says. That is, he bestows good upon those when we don't deserve it. He bestows good upon us that we didn't earn or didn't merit. He says here, the Lord is righteous. That is, he is right. He is pure. He is holy. He is just. That is who he is. And that implies that what he does is also right and pure and holy and just. And the psalmist says here, the Lord is merciful. He withholds the punishment that we do deserve. He gives us what we don't. He withholds what we do deserve. You understand, for him, all of those were important. All of those were so crucial to his being delivered from the turmoil that he was in. And he was grateful for them because they all played a role in his deliverance. As seen in verse 4, he says in verse 4, then I called on the name of the Lord. And he didn't simply petition the Lord. We saw that, see him do that in verse 2 where he just simply says, I will call upon him. But here he says, I will call upon the name of the Lord. Deliver me. He is invoking all the attributes of the Creator. He's saying, I need everything. I need him to be gracious. I need him to be merciful. I need him to be righteous. If he's not these things, then I don't have any deliverance. I don't have any hope. If he's not all of these things that he says that he is and that his name claims that he is. Psalmist says, I am trusting in all that the Lord is for my deliverance. I'm trusting that the Lord is gracious. If He's not gracious, He's not even going to hear my cry in the first place. He won't even listen to me in the first place if He's not gracious. I'm trusting that the Lord is righteous. Because if He's not righteous, who's to say that this is even wrong? Who's to say that my bondage is evil is even wrong if not He is not the judge of what is right and pure and just? I need Him to be righteous in order to recognize the evil that I'm in. I'm just trusting that the Lord is merciful. If He's not merciful to me, then death is what I deserve. Death is what belongs to me because of my sin against Him. He understands all of this. And He is so convinced of who God is. He's so convinced of His character. Even before He prays, He knows who He is praying to and the qualities and characteristics that He has. I'm so convinced of what God would do based on His character. The psalmist says in verse 10, I believed, even when I spoke, I am greatly afflicted. He's saying, I was already convinced of what God would do based upon His character, even before I made my petition to Him, saying, Lord, I am greatly afflicted. I know You are gracious. I know You are merciful. I know You are righteous. I have believed even before I took my petition to You. I know who You are. It was the character of God that assured him that God would hear him. It was the character of God that assured him that God would be merciful to him. And that which is right and just would be accomplished. And he was overwhelmed with gratitude because of the Lord's character. He says, oh, look how good the Lord has been to me. He is gracious. He is merciful. He is righteous. And because of that, I can call upon Him when I need Him. Christian friend, isn't it such a great comfort and joy knowing that God is who He is before we call upon Him? If you doubted His goodness, would you be waffling in your petitions of Him? If you doubted His mercy, would you be waffling in whether or not you should confess your sins to Him? Should I confess them? I mean, He may just strike the hammer down. You rejoice and have hearts full of gratitude, knowing that the Lord is who He is, that He is gracious and righteous and merciful. We are to be grateful, as the psalmist was, for who God is. Number four, the fourth reason for his gratitude was the Lord's care. We see His concern, we also see His care. We see the Lord's tender care in verse 15. There the psalmist says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Now, at first glance, this verse seems sort of out of place. Now, wait a second. I mean, the psalmist has been praying that he would be delivered from death. He's petitioning the Lord. Death seems to be all around him. Death is terrifying to him. Seems hopeless and distressed. And the emphasis up to this point has been upon him being delivered from that. But now the psalmist speaks of death of a child of God as something that the Lord delights in. Seems out of place. It seems as almost something's not right here. Maybe this got added in. It's almost startling when you first consider it, that the Lord takes delight in the death of His people, especially in the light of the fact that the psalmist has just prayed that he would be delivered from such death. So what's going on here? Well, because we don't know who the psalmist is, it's really hard to say for sure. Other than that, this was to serve as a reminder to Israel that God cares deeply for His people, both in their life and, if it happens, in their death as well. So caring is the Lord for His redeemed that both how they live is important to Him, but so has how they die as well. Both life and both death is important to Him. Charles Spurgeon describes it well when he writes, quote, the Lord watches over their dying beds, as he speaks to the death of the saints. He smooths their pillows, he says. He sustains their hearts, and he receives their souls. The psalmist is grateful here to the Lord because he knows that I needed to be delivered from death. It was all around me. It encompassed me. It terrified me. It brought me distress and anguish. I needed deliverance from that. But I also know that if the Lord chose not to deliver me, that's okay too. Because in the Lord's goodness, my death is just as important to him as my life. It's precious to him. He cares for me in my life. He cares for me in my death. And Christian friend, understand the Lord cares deeply for his redeemed. He cares deeply for you. Your entire life is important to him, even your death. And the death of his saints is precious to him because it signals the fulfillment of his purpose in them being completed upon the earth. That's my saint, and their time on earth is over. They fulfilled their purpose for me. They finished their task, and he ushers them into his eternal kingdom. We don't like to think about death, but here the psalmist reminds us we can be grateful for death because it is a means by which the Lord takes us home to be with him forever. It is precious to him. We're grateful this morning that we belong to a God who cares deeply for us, both in life and both in death. The psalmist had a heart of gratitude to the Lord, the Lord's deliverance, his concern, his character, and his care for them. These items were examples of God's goodness toward him. He was so overwhelmed with gratitude for them, items that we should be grateful for as well. How do we express such gratitude for such things? As we say, we step back and we meditate upon these truths and we think the Lord has delivered us, the Lord is concerned about us, he is a good God, his character reveals himself to be that, he cares deeply for us, we're moved with such gratitude for all the Lord has done for us. How do we now express that gratitude to him? The psalmist tells us that as well. And that leads us to our second aspect of gratitude, the expressions of our gratitude. And how does one truly express all the gratitude one has for the Lord? We see five here that the psalmist gives us. We're not going to look at these in depth. I'm just going to give them to you. We'll look at the verses, and we'll touch on them just shortly. The first expression of our gratitude is love. Love. We love him. Look what the psalmist says, verse 1. I love the Lord. I adore him. I'm devoted to him. I worship him. I love him. I have an affectionate for him because of all that he's done for me. How do we express our gratitude toward him? We love him. Not because he's bought our love. We love him because he's first loved us. That's the example of, that's the evidence given in the goodness that he's bestowed upon us in the first place. We love him. The second expression of our gratitude is our obedience. Our obedience. Look at verse 9. The psalmist in verse 8 had been delivered. He'd prayed to the Lord. The Lord had delivered him. He says, verse 9, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. The proper expression of gratitude for the Lord's goodness is to obey him. And the psalmist is saying, the Lord delivered me from death. He's given me life. I'm going to live that life for him in the land of the living. We express our gratitude by living in obedience to him. Number 3, we express our gratitude with exaltation. Verse 13, with exaltation. He says, let's just say in verse 12, what shall I render the Lord for all his benefits to me? Verse 13, I will lift up the cup of my salvation and call on the name of the Lord. How do I express my gratitude? I'm going to exalt what he's done for me. I'm going to exalt before all people. Look at the salvation the Lord has given me. We exalt him. We exalt the salvation that we have in Christ before others. That's a means of expressing our gratitude toward him for the salvation that we have. Number four, thankfulness. We express our gratitude with simply being thankful. He says, verse 17, I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. My life will be one of constant thanksgiving. I'm going to just devote myself to that. I'm going to give myself to that. I'm sacrificing my desire, my natural tendency to want to praise myself, and going to respond with making myself a sacrifice of constant thanksgiving to you for who you are and for what you have done. And gratitude to the Lord is best expressed by a constant giving of thanks to Him. And the last one, the last expression of our gratitude is worship. He says in verse 18 and 19, I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people. He's just saying, listen, what were His vows? Well, we saw one in verse 17, I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving. That's a vow He's made to the Lord. We see another vow in verse 9, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. That was another vow. He's saying, I'm going to pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of everybody. Everybody's going to see me worship Him. Everybody's going to see me live for Him. Everybody's going to see me give thanks to Him. He worshiped Him. Verse 19, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. We can express our gratitude toward God by gathering with the Lord's people and singing praise to the Lord. It begins the psalm with love for the Lord. He ends the psalm with praise for the Lord. And He does this because we will love the one we praise, and we will praise the one we love. If you don't love Him, you won't praise Him. If you don't praise Him, you don't love Him. And the psalmist was overwhelmed with gratitude. He says, this is how I will express my gratitude to the Lord. I will love Him. I will obey Him. I will exalt Him. I will thank Him, and I will worship Him. So how grateful are you this morning for the Lord's goodness to you? Well, a simple way to evaluate this is to ask, what is your love for Him like? What does your obedience to Him look like? What does your exaltation of Him before others look like? What does your thankfulness look like? What does your worship of Him look like? And friend, if you find yourself lacking in any of these areas, it may be that you need reminded of all the good things the Lord has done for you. And encourage you to meditate upon His goodness. And like the psalmist, be so overwhelmed with gratitude, you step back and say, what can I do for the Lord for all of the goodness that He has done for me? Let's pray. Father, we are thankful this morning for Your watch care. Like the psalmist, if we step back and give serious consideration to all that You have done for us, we can't help but think how that You have dealt so bountifully with us. What could I realistically do to express such gratitude? Lord, we see here from the psalmist, we can love You, we can obey You, we can exalt You before others, we can be thankful to You for all that You do in our life, and we can worship You. Lord, may we do that faithfully. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.